Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We invite you to call right now at 844-322-2742. That's 844-32-BASIC. We're live on the air and online right now, so you can call and get an immediate answer to your questions or discuss the important issues in your life right now. Again, the toll-free number is 844-322-2742. Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Next month, the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace is released, but it's available now for pre-order, and for a gift of a gift of $15 or more to the ministry. And I wanted to read just a few paragraphs out of it and maybe help identify with some of our listeners today. Way back in my early Christian experience, I really didn't know how the Christian life was supposed to work. And I was trying everything that I knew. And here's what I wrote. I was doing many Christian things, but even while I was doing them, I was struggling with sin. It didn't make sense to me at all. The bottom line is this. I didn't know what it meant to be a Christian or how I was supposed to live as a Christian. I was hearing stuff in church, just not the right stuff. And based on what I was hearing and my own understanding, I developed a belief system to guide me forward. Unfortunately, this system wasn't based on truth. Here's what I believed back then, and maybe this is something that you've believed about Christianity as well. Well, here's the first thing. I believed that I was basically a good person. I just made some mistakes along the way, and if I could just correct those, I would be okay. I looked at Christianity as a self-improvement program. I wanted Jesus to help make me a better person. So those two things tied together. Jesus Christ was going to help me become a better person. I was basically good. I just needed to be a little better. And so Christianity was that self-improvement program. Jesus was the one that was going to help me. He was going to be my life coach, so to speak. And then grace was the door into Christianity. There had to be a door, and grace was that door. But once you entered that door, then you didn't think much about the grace of God.
Yeah, so it was finished.
That's right. So that was my belief system. I was basically good. Christianity was a self-improvement program. Grace was the door into Christianity. And Jesus Christ came to help me become a better person. I thought that's why I needed Jesus. But here's the rub. I wasn't getting better at all. Every step I took forward was followed by two steps back. By the time I reached my senior year in college, backwards was the only direction I was going. And it should have been different, right? But it wasn't. And I was left trying to answer two nagging questions. How can I call myself a Christian but experience so little power for change? Maybe you've asked that question. How can you call yourself a Christian but experience so little power for change? The other question was this: how can I be so sincere and eager yet struggle so much with temptation? I really wanted to be God's guy. I was eager to be God's guy. I wanted to, crack that barrier and get to the other side and really become that guy that was going to make a difference here in this world. And yet the harder I tried, the more I struggled with sin in temptation. Well, maybe you're asking those questions as well. Maybe Christianity just doesn't make sense. You've believed the right things. You know Jesus is the answer, but you don't know how to make it work in everyday life. Well, that's what this broadcast is all about, how to make the gospel practical in everyday life so that you can hear it, believe it, and actually live it out on a day-to-day basis. Well, if you're asking those questions, if you're struggling with your own Christian experience, there are answers. Yes. You can experience victory in life. You can truly know joy and peace of the Lord. Those things can be a reality in your life If you've been struggling, let's talk about it on today's broadcast. We would love to hear from you.
Right now, as a matter of fact, at 844-322-2742, a toll-free call all across the country and in Canada. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk with Chris, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. I would really like your help in helping me to see Jesus as the same God that's in the Old Testament. So the Bible makes it abundantly clear that they're the same. You got in Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus is the exact representation of God. You have Jesus saying in the Gospel of John that he who has seen me has seen the Father. But then you look at the Old Testament, and there's no question that God killed people. I mean, lots of people. At the same time, you look at Isaiah chapter 42, and the description of Jesus there is a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. And it seemed like that was like killing people was the farthest thing from Jesus' mind. And I get that Jesus was the mediator of a new covenant, and is very different from the old covenant. But when Jesus was doing his ministry from ages 30 to 33, the old covenant was still in effect. So I get that the Bible definitely makes it clear that they're the same. I would just like some additional help from you guys in helping me to see that.
Okay, Chris, excellent question. And I think we need to start with a premise about the Word of God. And it's simply this: the Word of God from start to finish is God's testimony concerning Jesus Christ. If we want to know what the Bible is about, well, it's about Jesus from beginning to end. And so we see the unfolding story of Jesus, his pre-existence. We see that both in Genesis chapter 1, John chapter 1 makes that connection that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we see that Jesus was pre-existent. And then there's this story about the pre-existent Jesus becoming one of us, and that's what's unfolded for us through the pages of the Bible. It's starting in Genesis, right there in chapter 3, we see, you know, the mention of a seed bruising Satan, and we see just that unfolding story and the fulfillment of all those prophecies and the birth of Christ, and in the book of Revelation, the crowning glory of the heavenly vision of Jesus on the throne and all creation bowing down in worship, honor, glory, and praise. So it's God the Father's testimony about Jesus Christ the Son. And a lot of what we see in the Old Testament, the stuff that makes us scratch our heads and wonder if there's a God of the Old Testament versus a God of the New Testament, and ask the question, are those two different gods, are the things that you mentioned, Chris, the killings and that sort of thing. Well, I think we have to recognize and understand that there's been a world in rebellion toward God since the very foundations, basically, of the world, when Satan entered in and sin entered in and death entered in. So Satan has this plan to draw as many people as he possibly can and to stand in rebellion against God. And one of the things that Satan wants to do and has wanted to do since the very beginning was to destroy God's plan to bring Jesus into the world. Well, that plan was established through Abraham and through the bloodline that was to follow. And Satan, from that point forward, has done everything in his power, did everything in his power for a 2,000-year time period to keep Jesus from being born, to keep him from becoming the seed that would bless the whole world. So everything that we see in that old covenant that seems to make us scratch our heads, I think, has to be seen through that lens. Otherwise, it's not going to make sense to us. And of course, God is a judge. He's the sovereign. If he wants to bring Jesus into the world, he's going to bring Jesus into the world. And I think he's going to let people know that no matter what they do in rebellion toward him, that they do not have what it takes to stop that plan. And so I think we see that on various occasions through the Old Testament. So God's, the Word of God is God's testimony about his Son. It's the unfolding story. And we see as a part of that story, God the Father's protective hand over his Son and over that plan to bring Jesus into the world. Anything I leave out there, Richard?
It covers it pretty much. What I'd remind you of, Chris, is that all the killing certainly is not limited to the Old Testament. I mean, if Revelation is about anything, it's about this final judgment when all the enemies of God will, for the last time, be killed. They will be judged. It will be discovered that they completely rejected Jesus. And in Revelation 19, Jesus himself, you know, the one nobody likes to think of as someone who's capable of killing, is the one who kills. I mean, verse 21, the rest were killed with the sword coming out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. Jesus speaks, and the wicked are laid waste.
And the thing about that that's interesting, like, it's not like that God doesn't give the world an opportunity to come to its senses. Mm-hmm. It's not that God's judgments are willy-nilly. They just, you know, one day he feels a little...
He's miffed.
Yeah, he's his coffee went down the wrong way, and I want to do something about that. I mean, that's not how it works with God. You look, you know, at the flood, you look at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you see that there was opportunities. You look at Nineveh, the men of Nineveh. He sends a prophet to bring them to their senses, and you know, we see that story written out for us in the book of Jonah. So we see that, and we see, you know, back in at the end of the New Testament in Peter, where he says God's patience means salvation.
Yeah.
So God is patiently offering life to anyone who will receive it. But those who don't receive it, they're just swimming in that sea of death. And all that we see happening is just stuff that happens in that sea of death. I mean, in rebellion toward God, you're eventually going to be cast into that sea of death forever, and that's going to be your permanent place. So we have to recognize that. But they've all been given this opportunity to get out of that sea of death and really enjoy life in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's true. I actually just realized recently that, well, something that's been on my heart is I really want to know God better, especially in light of what seems to me to be the strictness of the Old Covenant. But then Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 3, he made his greatest ambition to know Jesus. And there's no question that if you want to know who God is, you have to know Jesus. But
that's
like,
correct.
I haven't been as intent on that as Paul has been. And so, I don't know, I guess at this point, maybe prayers would be very helpful. I just feel like this is something that I'm really struggling in. And I would really appreciate that. And I really do appreciate your ministry, guys. Thank you very much for your time. And you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for your call.
Yeah. Well, that form of capital punishment was on God. But what about on the state and national level? That's a question from Carl, who writes to us from Georgia. What does the Bible say about capital punishment? As Christians, are we supposed to believe in capital punishment?
Well, it's you know, you have this belief statement, you know, and capital punishment, you know, Christians believe it. You have to be a Christian to believe in capital punishment, or you have to believe in capital punishment to be a Christian.
Yeah.
We all want to know, and you're going to find Christians that are going to weigh in on both sides of that. I mean, what we do know about God is a merciful God. And throughout the Bible, we see that mercy always trumps judgment. You know, speaking of the sacrifices of the Old Testament, God said, I'm just sick and tired of those. Don't you realize that I'm a God of mercy and I want mercy? And so we see that's who God is, and that's his nature, that's his character. And we've seen the fulfillment of that in the person of Jesus, the fact that he died. That was a mercy seat. The blood that he offered, it was offered on the very mercy seat of God so that we could have mercy and experience life everlasting. That's what God is interested in. But as far as societies and nations and countries and those sort of things, each one has the opportunity to decide on that as they see fit. Here in the United States, the federal government has put that into the hands of states where it belongs. That's a good thing. So each state decides accordingly. There are some states where capital punishment is not in effect. There's other states where capital punishment is in effect. And that's the law of that state. Here in the state of Texas, capital punishment is on the books. There's nothing in the Word of God that would prevent a state or a country from putting capital punishment on the books. It's just not there. That doesn't mean as believers we can't be involved in that and try to weigh in, and you know, somebody on death row, to try to seek the state to show mercy. I mean, there are believers that might choose to do that, and that's well and good. So there's not a rule of thumb, you know, that here's the Christian position on this. The Christian position on it is, we know God, and we know that God is a merciful God. And what does that knowledge of God shape in our thinking as far as that particular issue is concerned?
Yeah,
absolutely. So there's some freedom. So if somebody doesn't hold the same opinion that you do, that doesn't mean they're less of a Christian or more of a Christian. That's where they've come down on that based on their understanding and knowledge of God that's been revealed to them in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you found Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. We have open lines and time on the clock, friends. That number, 844-322-2742. We're here every day live so that you can pose your question, get an immediate answer, and we'd love to hear from you on this edition. 844-322-2742. Bob and Richard, you know, we talked about a couple of months ago the fact that on oneplace.com, our broadcast has reached into at least 121 countries, maybe more by now. I don't know how many countries there are worldwide, but a lot of countries. Wanted to just share this brief comment from Dave, who writes to us from New South Wales, Sydney, as a matter of fact. He says, thank you for Basic Gospel. Simple faith in his shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins and believing that we may have new life in him. God bless your ministry for telling the truth in this dark world. And so we appreciate hearing from our listeners wherever they are in the world. Well, again, I want to give the number 844-322-2742. A question, let's see, this is a question from Robbie. He says, if a born-again believer dies because of sin on their behalf or dies during the act of sin, do they face judgment and hell, or is there some place waiting for them in heaven? Can someone with the Holy Spirit indwelling them commit suicide as an example? That's from Robbie, who listens to WMCA in New York.
Very interesting
yes.
question. And I think it's an important question. A lot of people think of suicide as the unpardonable sin. And the reason they think of it as the unpardonable sin is because there's no way to repent of that.
Yeah, you can't say I'm sorry.
And there's no way of asking for forgiveness for that. So I think that shows kind of our theological understanding about forgiveness, that if I sin today, then what's required of me is to confess that sin, repent of that sin, and then maybe God will forgive or maybe he won't. We're not sure. But the fact of the matter, the truth is this, that Jesus took away our sins once and for all. We've read this verse time and time again. It's Hebrews 9:22, and it says simply this: without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So forgiveness is tied to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And those of us who are in Christ have received the gift of God's forgiveness. We are forgiven people. So we are in God's favor. We're in Christ. In Him, there's no condemnation. So will our sins take us out of Christ, or are we always in Christ? Well, because of the shed blood of Jesus, the fact that He dealt with every one of our sins, not just some of them, not just sins up until the time we were saved, but sins that extend all the way through our lives to the very day that we die. Jesus took care of every one of those. The punishment has been paid. So if the punishment for all of our sins have been paid, then there's going to be no punishment for us. That's good news.
Yes.
And that's mind-boggling. Our minds have a hard time wrapping themselves around that truth, but that's truth. So say, for example, you and I are talking, Richard or Bob Davis, we're having a conversation, and I just tell a lie. And right in the middle of telling a lie, I die. What happens to me? Well, I'm in Christ. Christ is in me.
Well, since you were lying to me, it's different.
I'm absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's the good news, and we can count on that. Well, don't I have to repent of that? Don't I have to confess? Not for forgiveness. You're a forgiven person. But you will want to understand what the heart of all of that was, and God will lead you down that path. That's the good news.
Yes.
Well, let's go to George in Lodi, New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, George.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
I've never called a radio station like this in my life.
Well, we're glad you've called today. Thank you.
Thank you. I had a pretty rough childhood, and when I was like 27 years old, I gave my heart to the Lord. I did that with I wasn't, no one in my home talked about God in any way, or we never went to church or anything like that. But I was hearing your testimony about when you were in school and you kept struggling. And I just, I identify with that. And gave my heart to the Lord when I was 27. My wife is involved in the church. She's in the worship team. My daughter's in the youth ministry. I'm a deacon, so I do some work for the church as well. And I keep going, I keep falling into this sin that it just shames me, It makes me, when you said, I wanted to be God's guy. Yeah. That's what I want to be. That's what I wanted,
Well, George, I think I've got some answers for you. And we're about to go off the air, but I want you to hold on, and we're going to continue with this conversation right after the broadcast, okay? You hang on, George.
And as we close the broadcast, I want to remind you, friends, that when you give to and through Basic Gospel, you're indeed touching the lives of many people. You're making a difference for people who may be struggling with one or more of the myriad issues that can bog us down and keep us from experiencing the joy of our salvation. When you give to Basic Gospel, to and through this ministry, you are touching lives and you are making a difference. We ask you to join with us. Make your most generous gift today, and let's continue broadcasting this message of hope and the love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Click the donate link at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. That's available during Central Time office hours. Again, 844-412-BASIC. Or click the donate button at basicgospel.net. And don't forget, for a gift of $15 or more, you'll be getting a copy of Bob Christopher's brand-new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And that's a pretty good deal, I think. Well, we're out of time for this edition. Thanks for joining us, everybody. For Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis, and God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.